Okay, so today, I felt the Lord wanted me to share and to do a workshop on giving. Now, when I said to the Lord, what do you want me to share in line of us as people and giving? He wanted me to go back to a teaching I taught quite some time ago, and it is all based on finances to begin with. But then and he wants me to share that with you so that you've got a little bit of a foundation so that when he turns it around to ourselves, we will have that kind of foundation of understanding what he wants to achieve in our thinking process, in our renewing our minds, and in regards to us as people. So basically, there are many, many different ways of giving. And I'm sure there's lots and lots, especially in the Bible. But basically, through my life, God has taught me about four basic principles of giving. And they are, because it says in Matthew 6:25-33, it tells us not to worry over the years God has, not to worry. And over the years, God has taught me about these four principles. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through them now. So the four principles are: number one, tithing, which is in Malachi 3:6-12. The homework will come later tonight, the worksheet, because I haven't pulled it all together yet, because I've been trying to get ready for the challenge. So you will be getting the homework sheet later. So it should have all this on it. Tithing is a divine connection to the blessing. The blessing in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Genesis 1:28.
This is having control over your environment. God doesn't go against his word because he is not a man that he should lie. If he says it, he will do it. So tithing prevents recession and depression. Those things pass you by. What God showed me, I had been watching some movies, and it was all about the mafia, okay? And the mafia, when you are in a mafia land, you have to pay for protection. So God said to me, imagine I'm the mafia, okay? And when you pay me your tithes, you have my protection. And protection is something that we all need, because the enemy will come any way, shape, or form that he can to rob from us. So when we tithe, and that, I know the Bible says the tenth, okay? But that is between you and God, what you tithe. But that goes to your storehouse. Doesn't go anywhere else. It goes to your storehouse. And your storehouse is where you are fed, where you are nourished, where you learn more about God, where you're growing in God, where you're not sitting back and doing nothing. Okay? So that is what your tithes is all about. Then the next one is first fruits. So in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, a first fruits is an act of honor towards God. So, for example, say you get an increase. So you used to earn 500 rand. Now you've got an increase of 550 rand. The first fruits would be your first month's salary, which would be the 50 rand extra. You would ask God, which used to go to the priests, to ministers, to any charity work, anything, because God is such a generous God. He's asking us to mirror him in our generosity. So basically that 50 rand that you have that next month, in a way you pretend that you don't have it. That's your first fruit that you give to God wherever God lays on your heart. It's a generous. And God loves to give generously to those that give generously. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have alms, which is like charities, the poor, all those kind of things, acts of righteousness, which is in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So basically, that when it comes to giving to charity, it's basically God repays one-on-one. So there's a couple of scriptures that says that. It's like Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. It's what he has given. So if you give 1 rand, God will ensure that you get 1 rand back. Okay, so it's one-on-one, basically. In Proverbs 28, verse 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Luke 11, verse 41, but rather give alms or charitable deeds of such things as you have, then indeed all are clean to you. Okay. And then there's another verse which I won't read now, but I will put it into your homework. So charitable deeds is one-on-one. You get replaced one-on-one. And then the last one of the four that God's shown me is the seeds, financial seeds. Okay, so basically Mark 4 verse 8 says, but other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30, some 60, some 100. So sowing your finances into something, make sure that it's good ground, that it produces 30, 60, 100 times what you're planting. If you think of a corn on the cob, you plant one seed, it has many heads, which then if you just take one of those heads, produce many seeds to then sow again. All right? Luke 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Right, and then I will send the other scriptures, because basically I just wanted to share that. So those are the four areas of giving. Never switch any of the areas, because each one has a value. So your tithes, if some people used to say to me, oh, I tithe, but I give it to a charity. Okay. That means that if you're giving it to charity, which is an alms, you only get one-on-one. You get no protection, because you're not giving it to God and your storehouse. So don't switch them around. Your tithes is your tithes. Now, for me, personally, I have tithes that God has told me how much I have to pay. Now, it is nowhere near what I would like to, what I'm aiming for, but it's more than 10%. So don't get stuck on the percentage. Get stuck on God. What are you asking me to tithe? And sometimes our faith is only that we can give 5 rand, but then say, God, I give you this 5 rand as my tithe. It's better to do the 10% and go up than it is to do below the 10%. But your faith has to meet where you're at. Okay?
Lisa, can I ask you a quick question? What happens, like, if you don't have earn a salary?
So like Well, then,
I'm used to tithing, obviously, when I was working.
Yes. So then I would what I would do is I would go before the Lord. So if somebody comes in and blesses you with something, then you just ask God. I would still, me personally, I would still tithe on it off the top.
Yeah.
Make sure. Also, people say they tithe after deductions. God says from the top. He's a generous God. If you give him from the top, you're going to be protected from the top. Okay. So that's just the financial side of things. But as I was praying and as I was asking God about this, and it's been something that's been sitting with me for quite a few years now, and I have, in various ways, I've tried to adhere to what God is doing. I do that financially. Those are the areas that, so I've got my tithes. I've got my, if I get an increase or if I get a new job, I basically, that money goes to whoever God has told me to give it to. Okay. My alms, my charitable giving, those in different ways, shapes and forms. If I know that there's a family that hasn't got food, I will go and buy them food, because they might not be a family that can look after money. So I would then take that money and say, okay, God, what do I need to buy for them? And I'd give it to them. Or I would give it to, like for me, there's sometimes like New Day. I would give, every now and again, I give them money. That's my alms, okay? And then my seeds is something that I'm sowing into somebody else's life. So, for example, let's just call it, say, Tracy. If I knew that Tracy was in a place where she needed money and God laid it on my heart, I would sow into Tracy's life, because that's what God's laid on my heart. That's my seed, okay, which I can then reap 30, 60, 100-fold to once again sow into somebody's life. But now what God got me thinking about is myself, not finances, but myself. Do I give? And I sat down and I worked it out years ago. Do I give God 10% off the top? Not off the top is 2.24, 2 hours, 24 minutes in a day. If you take that, you sleep for 7 hours. then it would be, what was it? I've just 1.42 minutes, 1 hour, 42 minutes. Okay. Of your day, do you give the Lord? Now, you don't have to. The difference is that it's when you're tithing your time or yourself to the Lord, it doesn't have to be like with tithes in the physical, you give your 10%. Okay. Now, what God showed me is that sometimes I give my 10% and the rest of what he's asked me to do, I give when the finances come in, before I spend anything, before I pay my bills, anything. I actually now ask God, because I used to do it in split things, but I've asked God that I will earn whatever I earn comes in first and it goes towards my tithes first before I spend anything on my bills or my food or whatever else I have to spend money on. Okay. So basically, but it's slightly different with time. You could break up that 2 hours and 24 minutes into an hour in the morning, 24 minutes at lunch, and an hour at night. Doesn't matter, but do you, for yourself, for your protection of who he's created you to be, do you spend time with him? Do you tithe your time to him? So when it comes to first fruits, now for me, this is going to be an interesting one because I've never had first fruits of time before. Okay. So I've just given up my domicile. So that's from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock, which is actually quite amazing because God's already done it in a way, because if you think about it, I'm doing the challenge. So that amount of time this week, I am giving to God. It's not for myself. I'm giving that time. I'm not using that time for me to sit and relax and do whatever. I'm doing what God has called me to do in that time. I'm giving it to him. I'm saying, God, here's my time that I would have gone out working, but I'm giving you that this week. I'm giving you all that time. Help me to do what you want me to do with that time. Okay. So it's been quite an interesting one for me because that's quite a new one for me. And then we've got the poor, which we always have. But in ourselves, we've got poor in ourselves. Poor self-image, poor understanding of finances. We have a lack. We have a lack mentality instead of a prosperity mentality. And I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. I'm talking about being prosperous in God. Not just financially, in your soul. So we are poor. So do we feed ourselves? And then lastly, the seeds. Where do we sow what we've got in us, that God's planted in us? Where do we sow it? Do we throw it before swine, as pearl before swines? Or do we sow it into good ground? Are we running after things that we shouldn't be? Because same with your finances. You could sow your finances into a place where, in actual fact, that's not where God wants you to sow it, because it's not good ground. So in all this, and this is just another one area. So we've got the finance, but we've got our time. Gentlemen, we become, as Wendy was sharing a little earlier, we become so focused on doing things for others that we don't do things for ourselves. And that has become more and more and more relevant for me, because I'm so busy doing stuff for others that I have neglected myself with God. I don't know if I shared with you ladies, but for quite some time, I've been having quite a bit of pain in my head. And because I believe I go to the Lord first, because he died for me and I'm healed through him. But to the same point, there's two things that God showed me through that. Firstly, the enemy came and hit me with fear. Now, if I hadn't been spending time with God, if I hadn't been in that place of protection, tithing my time to God, I could have probably fallen apart a lot more and a lot faster. I'm not saying that I didn't battle through it. I'm not saying that at all. I did. Because he constantly hit me with two things. With one thing in our family, and that is high blood pressure. Okay? And in the area that I work on, I deal with a lot of people who've had strokes. So he kept saying to me, the pressure in your head is a stroke. The pressure in your head is high blood pressure. I had to fight that for months. I've only just 2 weeks ago overcome that. There are occasions when I still have the pain in my head, but I put it under the blood of Jesus. And I believe that is because sometimes I am so busy doing things for others that I'm not looking after myself in my relationship with God, in my time spent. I have made myself poor in my health because I haven't sown into my, I haven't sown the time. I go to sleep when I'm exhausted. And I can't keep my eyes open anymore. And I have had to start going to bed. Even if I stay awake, I have made myself go to bed at what I call the right time for me, to make sure that I get at least 7 hours sleep. That is making sure that my poor life, I'm sowing into the poor area of my life, gets what it deserves. Not even what it needs, but what it deserves. Spending time with you ladies is my sowing from myself, because I said to Marshall the other day, when I was preparing for this and I was preparing for Sunday and I was preparing for Monday, on Friday, I didn't go anywhere. I stayed here. I got my physical Bible out because I'm very much on my phone and my iPad. But I got my physical Bible out and I prepared for Sunday. I prepared for tonight. I prepared for today. And you know what? Not once in that time that I was preparing did I have any pain in my head. Not once in that time did I feel sad or what's it all about. I was full of joy. I was relaxed. And I said to God, this is what I want. And he said, that's what I want to give to you. So make sure that you are looking after those poor areas in your life. No matter what it is, I hope that what I've shared today has made sense to you ladies, and that it's spoken to you in a way that maybe, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit has highlighted things in your lives that maybe you need to do slightly differently. Are there any questions?
Maybe another silly-ish question.
No, there's no silly questions.
Yeah, maybe someone that's watching it would also be thinking like me. First of all, I like the tithing and everything of your time. That was something quite new for me, and it makes a lot of sense. But, okay, now what happens? I already asked you if someone's not earning a salary or whatever, but if they do get or gifted with something and they're wanting to tithe, you say you give to the storehouse, which would be, in my normal scenario, the church I'm going to or whatever. But yeah, I'm actually I haven't been to a church. So do you give to, for example, now what we're doing here for you, for example, because that's where I'm getting my teaching, my knowledge, my, you know, everything that I'm getting, this is where I'm getting it here, and my Sunday mornings. Would a person then give to something like that?
Where you feel God is, yes. Feel that God, where God has led you to be fed, that is where you pay your tithes.
Okay.
That's until he moves you on, or until things change, that is what we do. So yes.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah. Anybody else got any other questions or anything they want to share? Was there any aha moments or anything that think, oh, yes, God's been speaking to me about that lately, or he's been showing me this lately?
Like I said, my aha was that time thing, because, I need to, I'm busy, I'm here. I need to make that time. So that was definitely an aha moment for me. Yeah.
You got to mute. Gail, you've muted yourself.
I think also we must also be aware that your first fruits, especially with your time and giving it to God. When I was swimming before and when I swim now, I find that for me is the perfect time to commune with God, because I can do whatever I'm doing without thinking about it. So I use that time to go into prayer with God. So for the 2 hours that I'm spending in the pool, walking up and down or swimming up and down, I'm constantly in communion with God at that stage. Well, we're in constant communion anyway through our spirit, but that is when I have my conversations with God. When you're driving, you know, all those little times when you acknowledge God in the presence, in your presence, in wherever you are at the moment. I don't think that it necessarily means that we have to physically put 2.5 hours aside, because I don't think anybody that's out working and looking after a family can physically go and put 2.5 hours aside. But in whatever they are doing at that particular time, cooking supper, washing dishes, doing whatever, is acknowledging God in whatever you're doing. And I think that is also part of your time that you're spending, if you are tithing your time, is acknowledging God. As I'm standing in front of the sink washing up, I mean, us women can do that blindfolded. And while you're there, have a conversation with God. Have a conversation when you're out in the garden, busy attending, watering the plants or whatever. It's bringing God into your space in whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's also important. Yeah.
I think that is, I think, maybe possibly a little bit better explained than what I intended, in the fact that I said to you, you don't have to do it all in one place. Do you know what I mean? It's just making sure that you always communicate. Yeah. Because sometimes we do get very busy and we don't include God, or we forget to speak to God through the day. Do you know what I mean? Or we used to. We might not do that now, but you know what I mean? It was just something God was showing me. Through the fact that he is concerned about the whole person.
It sounds crazy. Yeah. But when you wake up in the morning and you're going to go for a bath, take God with you.
Yes.
It's strange and funny to say it, but he is, you know, he'll meet you anywhere. I mean, I always used to say his best time with God was on the throne. But you know, when he went, the only time that he could have peace and quiet, he was all by himself.
Offloading the worldly worries and picking up God's heart.
I know.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think the thing that God was trying to say to me is that it's not getting, it's not as, in a way, black and white as tithing finances or first fruit finances or sowing or alms. It is the fact that we need to be aware of it, because if we aren't aware of it and we aren't giving it to God, I mean, I give my whole day to the Lord, okay? When I wake up, I say, God, here's the day. Help me to live it the way that you want me to. Make sure that I do the things that you've planned and purposed for me to do today. But there are still times where you set aside. You know, it's more than being married. You know, when you're married, it is literally like sometimes ships passing in the night. And do we do that with God? Are we like ships? Hello, how are you? Love you. Bye. You know what I mean? And that's, for me, what was happening in my life. And that's when God started speaking to me about tithing, first fruits, alms, and sowing and finances, because I was very much into that. And then God said, but what about your time? What about you with me? Because not only will it be good for you in renewing your mind, but it will be good for you in your health. It will be good for you in your body. It's because God doesn't just worry about our bodies. He worries about us. Well, not worries, but you know what I mean? He's not just concerned about our bodies. He's concerned with our souls and our bodies and every single part of us. Do you know what I mean? So, and that was just something that when I was praying about what to share, and one of the things that he gave me months ago was giving, but with giving with a twist in the fact of it's our time. So, and sometimes giving your time can be spending it with people that need to have you around. Because that's basically, you know, it doesn't just have to be time where you're in your closet or at the kitchen sink, or do you know what I mean? It can be God saying to you, I need you to dedicate this time to Gail. Because Gail needs to just spend time talking to you. Do you know what I mean? And then
I've got a friend of mine who has she's had brain tumors removed, and it's made her, she could never cope in a situation like we are here now, because the one person will be talking and she takes a while to actually comprehend what's happening and what's being said, that by the time she's formulated her answer, we've moved on to the next topic. Or the subject's been changed. So a setting like this is not her ideal. Well, no, it's not. She just doesn't cope. She just sits there with the mouth full of teeth. But her and I meet once a week for an hour and a half. Now, to me, that is my time tithing to her. You know, when I do ministry and counseling with people, it's my time that I'm giving over to people. You know, it's my time that I'm giving to God in order to help somebody else. You know, so it's, you know, there's so many different aspects to giving of your time. And also just on the tithing as well, I can't think of the scripture now, but there is a scripture about giving in the New Testament, about giving, basically giving what you feel is in your heart to give.
Yeah.
In the New Testament. I think the Old Testament was very much the 10%. And the New Testament is giving as God prompts you to give. So like you say, it won't necessarily be 10%. It might be a lot more, might be less or whatever. But give it with a glad heart or a joyful heart. And I think that is also a big thing, is when you are doing your giving. I know in the beginning, Fred was very against, I mean, he didn't understand the concept of tithing and things like that. And he was always quite, not that he was against it, but you could see he didn't quite understand it. So it was never with a glad heart, you know, it was always with, you're going to tithe today. Are you going to give it all? You know, is it all going to go to the church, or is it all going to go wherever you're going? I said, yes, we're not. It is going to go. But just watch God will. And only when he could see the fruit that we were reaping in our lives, because we gave, remembering he didn't want to give, But yeah. then he said, okay, we can give, but it wasn't yet with a joyful heart.
Yeah.
But when he started realizing the fruits that we were getting, and he became more joyful about the fact that we were giving, we even reaped more. You know, yeah. things, I mean, it was just incredible how God sowed into our lives in order for us to sow into others' lives.
Yeah.
And you know, then he grabbed that concept. So just always as well with tithing, just remember, it must be with a joyful heart.
Yeah.
It must never be with a, I don't know now about now. Don't think twice about it. It must just be given because you know that God is going to to bless you.
I look at the Old Testament as the foundation upon which the New Testament is built. No. And do you know what I mean? And if God is calling you to do 10%, then do it. But if he isn't, then do what he's telling you. No. Not what you think you should be doing.
That's what I'm just, that's what I was trying to say, is that 10% isn't the rule.
No.
But it's a guideline.
No, it's not the guideline. Rule. But because also, even in the Old Testament, okay, it says in some parts, it tells you to take your tithes, okay? But there's one place, and that's on a yearly, because they used to do it yearly then. And there's one place that says, give me 3 years. So what I'm trying to say is don't go, you are unique to God. Do what God is asking you to do. That's the obedience of what will bring protection. That's the obedience of what will bring one-on-one. That's the obedience of what will bring 30, 60, 100-fold. Do you know what I mean? It's just that there are different types of giving. Just as much as there's different types of giving in your time, there's time where you can sit and just spend time with the God, just you and God. There's times when we're spending time together like this, that's giving God glory. That's also giving. What I'm trying to say is be open to what God is telling you to do through your time, not just your finances.
Yeah.
So, and God will sort everything out. Do you know what I mean? So, which is brilliant. So, right. Let's just, Wendy, you got anything to say before I?
Just a thought about the tithing of your time and what Gail was saying about, I mean, I do that as well, talk to God all the time. And my best time is when I'm walking my dog because there's nobody else around. And I talk all the time. But I just feel that if we're tithing our time, that's the time that we spend only with God, not doing something else like walking the dog or washing our dishes or anything. And we literally close our eyes and feel the spiritual presence of God, and that I feel that time is our tithing of our time to God, where we literally shut everybody else out and the world, closing our eyes to any distractions. And then I suppose that, like, when I'm busy with things like walking the dog, and that would be almost like on a par with alms, because you do get something out of that, but it's not poured out to overflowing like it would be in your tithing of your time, where you're only talking to God. I feel that you overflow with spiritual fulfillment after that sort of time. So I just feel that's an extra, you know, the actual tithing time is the complete giving to God of time, that everything else is excluded, even people, even demands of children, for instance, things like that.
Yeah, which then goes back to what Gail was sharing, in the fact that it could be 10%, it could be less, it could be more. Okay, I think that time with God, where nobody else is around, depends on what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
If God is calling you,
I think you know you should be spending. I tell you, you can't get away. You know if you should be spending more time, or if you're right with the amount of time you're spending with them, and what type of time it is, like Wendy and Gail were saying.
I think it does depend, because sometimes, like, I used to spend 4 hours a day with God, and then, but I wasn't doing much ministry or anything like that. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm spending all this time. I'm getting all this knowledge. Why? I'm not giving it to anybody. And yet, through this 8 weeks, he's been showing me that those years where I was spending that 4 or 5 hours with him a day is what was the foundation of what he's giving me to share. Yeah, because it's been like a slow cooker. It's been inside me. It's been stewing and bubbling, and he's been maturing it and cooking it so that when I present it, what he's presenting is, that's why I'm saying you have to do what God is calling you to, whether it's 10%, whether it's 5%, whether it's 50%, it doesn't matter which of it is, as long as you're doing what God is calling you to do. And it's the same as if you only had R5 and that's all you start off with. Even if you got 15 minutes and that's all that you can handle yourself because your faith level is only there, it's the beginning of. Do you know what I mean? So that's what it is, a whole lot more than what I've been able to unpack. But I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of you in the area that you need to deal with, or you need to change, or you need to enhance. And that's the whole point. It's not about what Vanessa says or what Vanessa does. It's what is God speaking to you about in what I believe the Lord wanted me to share today. Mm-hmm. And that's every week. That's not just this week. It's every week. So, and I have been, because there's somebody else who also asked me about tithing to like Nova Hazon kind of thing. I am working on, it'll be through, I'm trying to work on a donate button that, because every other button you have to put in a specific amount, whereas donate you can put in your own amount. So I'm working on that at the moment. If anybody's wanting to know about it, it is being, it's because I didn't think about it, but somebody asked me about it. So I've been looking into it just in case. So and also, ladies, just let me just close off here. Let me just close off in prayer, because we didn't even pray when we began. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts in the area that you would have us enhance, change, and fulfill your plans and purposes for us. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and you can show us so many different angles, so many different things, and yet the word is the same. Like you, yesterday, today, and forever. You're never changing, but we are always changing, and your word is ever moving and changing us. And we want to give you the praise, the honor, and glory for this. And I pray that each one of us would keep tender hearts and open ears and eyes to that which you would have us hear and see and do this week ahead. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.